You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolize Dominik Hasek. I played goalie because of Dominik Hasek. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as the team has over the last, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry. I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mic, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
Welcome, everybody, to I'll Hang Up and Listen, brought to you by, and I hope you're enjoying one after that loss, Fatty Beer Company, Western New York's premier market and tap room with 8 Western New York locations and over 300 beers to choose from. Fatty Beer is one of the best places to enjoy happy hour, a Sabres game, or any sporting event. They have live music, entertainment, and trivia at all 8 locations, 7 days a week. Open 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. and later. And, of course, they are both cat and dog friendly. Buffalo Logo apparel. Get all of your Buffalo sports apparel needs from Buffalo Logo. Go check out our own merchandise, the goated Hasek Lennerman hat, the RJ, pay honor to him, the RJ hat, and, of course, the goat shirts, hats, and hoodies. And then hopefully we'll have some of our own merch available for you to buy on there as well. Hurls, Sabres lose 5-2 to the Ottawa Senators. While, okay, that score doesn't look absolutely terrible as we're all reacting because, again, I'm sorry, 6-2. Sorry, 6-2. I forgot about the empty netter. While they didn't give up a goal, technically, if you don't count the empty netter, for 40 minutes, 5-0 after the first period, and falling back into the old habits, and now we're once again questioning Don Granato's future with the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, that was about as not expected of a start that we could have imagined from this team, from this game, because they had played well at home the previous two games before that road trip. They dominated two teams that were in the playoffs at that point against the Islanders and the Red Wings. And as we talked about on the show last night, I think both of us were expecting a desperate effort tonight out of the team and probably out of the coaching staff, throwing every single dart at the wall that they possibly could have tonight, because obviously it was do or die. You've got 5 games at home, and then you've got 3 or 5 on the road to end the year, 10 games, and you needed to win all 10. Yeah. And for them to come out in the first 2 minutes of that game and just get completely manhandled speaks a lot, of course, to the execution of the players. But when it's that apparent to a team that's really, really bad, that your players were not ready to play that game. I'm not sure what was said pregame. I'm not sure what the practice intensities was like the past couple days. You got Jack Quinn back. Maybe that would have been a source of excitement for the team, as I'm sure it was. But if you get dominated that badly to begin the game, of course, a couple soft goals by UPL, but they've kind of run them into the ground because they've had to in the past 2 months. It really does speak to the coach not getting this team ready to play. There's really nothing more you can say other than that. Of course, execution plays a part in it. We can get into Don Granato's presser after the game. But
I didn't get a chance to hear that. You have to fill me in.
Yeah, I listened to the entire thing. I can talk about it now if you want me to.
I mean, I heard from what I saw on my timeline, it was bad, right?
It was pretty bad. I mean, it was 3 minutes and 42 seconds, and he blamed a lack of execution the entire time. There was no accountability in terms of saying that we could have prepared these guys better. There were things that we could have done schematically to prepare for the Senators in the first 5 minutes of that game, so a situation like that didn't happen, or the entire first period, mind you. He said he didn't call a timeout after the second or even third goal because he thought the Sabres were generating good enough chances and they just didn't execute. So he's basically blaming his players for not scoring goals. He said that it was tough for Lukanen because he let in a couple easy ones and he felt bad for him, but the players didn't put him in a position to succeed. He spent almost 4 minutes blaming his players for the 5-0 first period. And I do understand it a little bit because you do need your guys to score when they have really good opportunities. But the Peyton Krebs breakaway, I think it was 3-0 at that point. He spoke to an Eric Robinson wide open net. I'm not sure what the score was.
Yeah, I was sitting right behind the net for that. I thought that was for sure going in.
You know what the score was at that point?
I want to say it was 3-0.
Okay, cool. So I think he knows
nothing.
Given how this team has played this season, I was at the home opener when they got down early to the Rangers, and the Rangers played a trap for the rest of the game. He knows what happens to this team when they get down early, especially at home. And he did nothing. Didn't call a timeout. Didn't pull UPL after two relatively soft goals, especially from his perspective for the past 3 months, given he's been one of the best goalies in the league. He did absolutely nothing other than, oh, shit. Our players didn't score. They didn't come back. It's honestly mind-boggling to me. And I know you posed the question for this live stream, should Don Granato be fired at the end of the season? He should be fired after this game.
Yep.
I'm absolutely at that point. And if we don't wake up to that news tomorrow morning, we're all going to be pissed, and we have a right to be. I'm not sure how loud the fire Donnie chants were. I'm not sure how loud the boos were tonight. You were there.
I don't know if I heard any fire Donnie chants. There might have been. Honestly, there wasn't a lot of fans there to begin with. It looked like, honestly, like by midway through the second period. I don't know if you've ever played in a Super Sunday game at the arena, but like
I played
like
it too, buddy. Hey, we had the entire lower bowl filled.
I think we had like an entire section and a half full for us. We were small school though, so it's not like we had a very large
It was the first time we'd gotten Super Sunday in a long time, so it was a big deal for a lot of people.
I think my graduating class was like maybe 200 people, so it wasn't we didn't have a big school, but like it felt like a Super Sunday game. Hey, really
hey, and for me. Two best games of my life in that arena. So
yeah, there you go.
That brings back good memories for me. But yeah, I mean, as there shouldn't have been, but, right? Like, why would anyone go and support this team right now? You went, you got tickets.
Hurls, I was uncontrollably laughing at 3-0.
Yeah,
like, as you should be. But I'm sick. It's not like laughing. Like I think this is funny.
No,
it's laughing.
I
know. Like it's how the fuck. How the fuck are you playing this bad in this situation where literally, honestly, you have nothing to lose. You literally have nothing to lose. Like, nobody really actually expects you to make playoffs. They don't. So, like, just leave it all out there. You have three days rest. So do the Senators. They came to play.
If we're being honest, the second period on from the Red Wings game a couple weekends ago, that's when the season actually died. After
that Red Wings game, and that was about as bad as, like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, that's what I'm saying, though.
That was a bad performance.
Yeah, but remember the first period. It was really, really good. And they were up 1-0.
The final 40
minutes. And then the rest of the game was horrible. That is the exact moment that the season actually died. I think we had obviously a little bit of optimism they could go on a little run here based upon what they did at the end of last year. But the second half of that Red Wings game against a team you had just absolutely throttled 3 days before, that was the moment the season was actually finished. And you kind of felt it the rest of that road trip, right? I think the Vancouver game was obviously not a great game against a really good team, played well against the Kraken. But then even at the end of the Oilers game, you're up 3-2. Against one of the better teams in the league with all the talent in the world, and you just give up. If that doesn't say what this team thinks about Don Granato right now, as much as they can say it to the media that we support Donnie, we love Donnie, they haven't showed it. They didn't show it tonight in a must-win game in front of their home fans.
with 10 games to go to save their season, they were flat. Our best player for the past 3 months was overworked, and he didn't make saves tonight that he has normally made for the past 3 months.
But to your point, I heard a Bronx cheer. Like, I can't remember what the score was, like, when UPL made a save, and it was like, that fucking guy has carried this team on his back since January. The only reason they have a pulse is because of Ukko Pekkalukkanen.
The audacity
to Bronx cheer that fucking guy.
And I would. I mean, fans are stupid. I would say just generally, like I would equate those fans that sarcastically cheered Ukko Pekkalukkanen to fans that comment on Twitter posts and are too scared to do something in person or to say it to your face. They clearly have no knowledge of the game or no knowledge of the team, and they were just being trolls. I don't give those fans any peace of mind whatsoever. But the fact that this team was not ready to play tonight, if Don Granato has a job in the morning, he's not getting fired at the end of the season, no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that pretty confidently. Because if that wasn't enough, 5-0 in a must-win game. If he has a job in the morning, if he has a job right now, he's not getting fired at the end of this year. And it's clearly a handshake agreement between him, Kevin Adams, and Terry Pegula. So
here, speaking of Terry,
as much as we can cry about it, like
this is a good comment from Big Fungus. He should be fired effective 12 a.m. Call Lindy to finish the season and find a real coach next year. Fuck Terry Pegula for allowing this to continue. And I put this out there on Twitter before we went live, and I said, I get it. You don't want to pay another coach to not coach for you. I understand it almost. Like, you're still paying. I'm assuming you're still paying Ralph Kruger. Shit, you could be still paying Phil Housley for all I know. I don't know. But whose fault is that? Whose fault is it that if you were to part ways with Don Granato tonight, that you'd be paying him beyond this year still? Whose fault is that? That's your fault. That's all your fault. Because you decided that you were confident in a first-year head coach after one unsuccessful season. Because I wouldn't call last year successful, because the goal is to make playoffs. Was it vastly improved hockey from what we've seen for the past decade? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, you didn't make the playoffs. You accomplished nothing, literally nothing, next to nothing, other than getting this fan base's hopes up again, getting their optimism up again, and selling fucking hope, go into the offseason, do virtually nothing in free agency. The best addition in your offseason offensively is an 18-year-old kid who, honestly, on 99% of the time, wouldn't make an NHL roster. Wouldn't make an NHL roster. But you felt that you needed to lock that guy up. Him and Adams. You got to lock them both up, right? We got to lock those guys up. Don't. What? Because you finished 1 point out of a playoff spot? That's why you got to lock them up? For what? Honestly, whose fault is that, Terry? Whose fault is that? That's your fault. Or are you just listening to Kevin, and Kevin's trying to secure his job and Donnie's job beyond next season? Because who the fuck is lining up after this season to acquire Don Granato's services? Who? Who was lining up after last season? Who? Nobody. I'm pretty sure you would have felt pretty damn secure not extending that guy, knowing that you could have still did it after this season or near the end of the season, and Don would have gladly taken the contract. That's your fault, Terry Pegula. That's your fault, not our fault. You're making us suffer through this shit again.
Meanwhile, happy birthday, Terry Pegula.
Yeah.
The comments on the Sabres post earlier today. Happy birthday, Terry Pegula. Everyone go to that tweet when you get a chance. My favorite reply to that tweet. My favorite reply to that tweet was stay strong, admin. Do your best, because it's tough out there right now. And I don't mean to, and the place you're coming from is obviously a source of frustration that a lot of fans are feeling right now for 13 years. I feel it. I think I express it in a different way, but yeah, it's inexcusable. It's not only disappointing, it's infuriating. The three words that came out of the locker room tonight from Joe Yurden that I saw were shocked, disappointed, stunned. But honestly, given the way this team has played at home most of the season, they shouldn't be surprised at all. They've had a few good games recently, but for the first half of the season, they were playing at a 72-point pace, and I think they were playing much worse than that at home. So for the most part, they can only look to themselves, right? And that's where it comes down to. This, obviously, management and the coaching staff has not put this team in a position to succeed.
No, they haven't.
And as you said, UPL's Linsanity run over the past 2 months is the only reason they had a chance to begin with. I would argue Rasmus Dahlin is in there, JJ Paterka is in there, even Casey Mittelstadt for parts of it because he was our leading scorer. But it is utterly inexcusable what happened tonight. And if there's not some type of response, because I can almost guarantee you they're not going to fire Don Granato. Can almost guarantee you we're not going to wake up to news of that tomorrow. And if we do, I'll be pleasantly surprised. I'm not sure who takes over as interim head coach because we goddamn know that Marty Wilford and Matt Ellis and maybe Seth, they bring Seth Appert up, but Rochester's in the midst of a playoff run in the AHL. So I'm not sure that would be a good idea. I don't know what they do.
Something Harrington, who I think has advocated for quite a while that it's we can't keep firing coaches at the players. Harrington is calling for Granato to be fired, which, again, I'm not going to say is surprising, but he is a guy that has, and even on our show, he even said that it's on the players to you know what I mean? How can you constantly blame the coaches? It's the players. I agree with that to an extent, or else I do. I agree that the players are the ones making plays or lack thereof, but to your point to start all this, and I understand, listen, I Paul Hamilton made some good points on the post game when I was driving home from the game. He goes, I'm sure the team does love Don Granato. I'm sure they don't want him to be fired. I'm sure they love playing for him, but they have a funny way of showing it. They have a really funny way of showing it. And that doesn't look like a coach you want to play that you don't play. You're the way you're playing doesn't make me believe that you want him to to continue being that coach.
I'll say tonight was really bad. For the majority of the last month, they've been better than they were the rest of the year. So I do not think that they are quitting on a nightly basis. But if you're just looking at the end of the Detroit game, the end of the Oilers game, and the beginning of this game as three data points in three games that are ultimately going to be the demise of this team, it felt like they quit. They felt like they quit twice, and it felt like they weren't ready to play tonight, which is obviously inexcusable. I'm going to bring up a tweet I saw from our guy Kevin on Twitter, who I think is really knowledgeable.
Before you do, just a shout out to some new viewers, new listeners, Liam Canadian, and of course now we got Tim in the mix. Seems like we got some new viewers, new listeners almost every single time we go live, Earls.
The tank is not on. The tank is not on. We're not tanking.
Not tanking.
I'm going to read a tweet from our guy Kevin on Twitter. I think a lot of people deep into Sabres Twitters know him really well. NT Rider 825. He said this specifically about Don Granato, and he has been one that has defended him for a lot of different reasons this season. But he says, basically, they are a team that doesn't have any easy buttons. I've defended Granato a lot on many things. But it's year 3.5. If you haven't given your team easy ways to generate or shut down offense by now, you're never gonna. And that speaks to a lot of different things. Yeah, it speaks to a lot of different things. But if your team's not ready to play in the first 5 minutes of game, which are critical in terms of the way that your team specifically plays, you want to play this run and gun style. You want to go up and down the ice and create chances. Well, you're not going to be able to do that if you get down early. And if you can't generate offense early, especially at home in front of your fans at a five-game homestand, if you're not giving them the system to succeed in a way that they did last year, in a way that they haven't this year, especially on the power play, what's going to change? And how are you going to know if it's the player's fault if you continue to have the same systems for the past 3.5 years? Obviously, he's better than Ralph Kruger. Obviously, he's better than Phil Housley. Obviously, he's better than Dan Bylsma. Obviously, he's better than Ted Nolan or the end of the Lindy Ruff era. But right now, it's not working. And a lot of NHL coaches this season in higher profile markets have gotten fired for way less. So whatever Terry Pegula feels handcuffed to because of the extension he signed them to, because they were just there at the end of last season, he can take his $10 billion and go find somebody else. That money doesn't matter to him. That money does not matter. All of the money he's making from the Bills, all of the money he's making from the personal seat licenses that are coming out for the new stadium in 2.5 years, the however many million dollars he's going to have to be on the hook for Don Granato for the next 3 years, I'm sure they can come to some type of deal. It doesn't matter. This team is good enough. They've generated chances in the second half of the year, and they had one of the best goalies in the league, and they're still going to miss the playoffs. You need to try something new systematically and schematically. And I fear they're not going to, because they're scared of just trying something new. You have to. Otherwise, nothing's going to work.
I didn't even notice that Jose was playing tonight. Jose played tonight?
I don't think he did.
I saw a couple of Jose comments.
I'll take a look at the box.
I know it means nothing, but it's a small detail in terms of game presentation. They did this like roulette game on the Jumbotron, and they still had Labushkin's number on there.
Oh no.
Craig Anderson, Rasmus Asplund, and Casey Fitzgerald. On the roulette thing, which I thought was hilarious.
Jost was not playing tonight.
Okay.
But
I didn't think he was.
Besides the point, some positives. Can we get to a couple positives?
Actually, I'm going to pull up a positive right now.
That was my positive. Shout out new listener Tim. That was my positive.
Yeah. And he's looked good both his last two starts.
Yeah. He had, I think,
he didn't start tonight. Might as well have.
He had 6 goals saved above expected against the Canucks, which in analytics terms is incredible.
That one rebound pad save.
Amazing. On Tkachuk. So
that was beautiful.
I think every goalie knows that coming into a game cold is one of the hardest things to do. And you have to be both like physically and mentally ready to do that type of thing. Thankfully, it was pretty early into the game, so he was probably still feeling pretty good from warmups. But I think coming into that situation, especially as a young kid, especially in a hostile home environment, let alone a hostile road environment, a hostile home environment when the fans have already turned against the team and probably would have absolutely gone in on you after that goal that he let in to make it 5-0, he responded about as well as any goalie could have in that type of situation. I think the Senators still played a pretty good game. I mean, the Sabres obviously had a much better second period where they generated some chances, and especially that shift where Clifton scored, they were in their zone for like three plus minutes. So that was another positive in terms of the forwards and defensemen. But no, Levi, he looked sharp. He looked aggressive. He's at his best when he's athletic and he's challenging, and he's obviously pouncing on rebounds. So that was my main takeaway.
I'm looking at Don Granato's contract right now and cap friendly. He is signed.
Show that.
He is signed for 2 more seasons. He signed through the end of 2026 for $3.8 million.
Absolute chump change. Von Miller just took a $3.8 million pay cut. Terry
is correct if I'm reading that correctly.
Yeah, Terry is flush with cash. he does not care about the money that he has to pay all these coaches that he's fired that hasn't worked out. I think it's an ego thing. I really do. I think that it's slightly that, and a lot of people say he doesn't care about the Sabres and he only cares about the Bills. I absolutely refute that. I do think he cares about the Sabres. He bought this team in 2011 because he was a lifelong Sabres fan. And the genuine emotion he showed at that first press conference, while it looks funny now, the only destination is the Stanley Cup. And that's the entire reason for the Sabres' existence. It looks really funny now. I do believe he cares about the team. He's just failed in every single decision that he's made for the most part. And that obviously comes back to bite you. I mean, caring about the team and making really, really bad decisions when it comes to personnel in terms of not upgrading the arena or caring about the fan experience, those are different stories. I do think he wants this team to win. And yeah, he might be a little bit more distracted because he has a role within the NFL now and the Bills are much more a part of the national conversation, but he does care about this team. It's just not working. Mm-hmm. It's clearly not working.
And from another new listener, Vinny Vaccaro, at this point, 9 straight losses doesn't sound too bad.
It does though.
It does. Yeah.
I mean, let's talk about that just for a second. 9 straight losses. So how many points would we have? I think that would keep us potentially in top 10 territory. And this is another discussion I want to have about the Sabres first round pick. So that would be 73 points. I just want to see where 73 points is probably top bottom 10 in the league. Chris Baker, I think he's Sabres prospects on Twitter. He tweeted out in the middle of the 5-0 shellacking that he's very much in favor of Kevin Adams packaging that first round pick this season, whether it's by itself or with a prospect or another pick, to trade it for something that can help right now. You don't need this season's first round pick.
No, unless it ends up being a lottery pick and you fucking actually win the lottery.
If you luck into Macklin Celebrini, you take him.
Or even a top 3 pick. If it's like a top 3, fuck yeah.
I don't
pick. You trade one of the guys that you already have in your prospect pool.
Given how far out of it they're going to be for the lottery, I don't think there's a chance they get into the top 3.
You can move up.
It's either going to be 1 or 10.
Yeah, I think there's only you can only move up so far. They would literally have to lose every single game to have it like a shot at celebrating.
No, yeah, and that's what I'm saying though. It's probably going to be in the 10 range. So
and if that's the case, then trade it.
You don't need the 10th overall pick. Zach Benson was an anomaly, and he's going to be an anomaly moving forward. So yeah. I mean, you don't need to tank because it doesn't matter. I think that's the discussion fans need to have and realize because we're not going to get Macklin Celebrini. So therefore, the rest of the picks in this draft don't matter.
I agree. Couple good comments here from our boy Mauricio. Adams had an approved NHL trade deadline for a frontline second line veteran centerman. Deal fell apart based on no trade clause decline. So many strikes after strike. I'm not sure what Mauricio is talking about there. Was there a rumor going around that he was trying to strike a deal, but there were no trade clause involved with another team?
I think around the deadline, there were a lot of whispers that a lot of guys the Sabres wanted had no trade clauses to Buffalo.
So. And they wouldn't trade him. They wouldn't lift him to come here. If they fire Granato tonight, who would take over the bench? Would it be Ellis, Wilford, or Christie? Hopefully none of them.
I would say Appert.
Seth Appert, or I mean,
I think it. Man. I really, given that he filled in earlier in the year when Donnie was sick.
I don't think they would take Seth Appert away from Rochester though with the situation they're currently in.
What matters more though, like the NHL team or the farm system?
I mean, if you're firing your head coach with 9 games left, man, like I don't think you're expecting the playoffs.
No, you're not. You're not. But like, you also need to have somebody with head coaching experience, and you can't fucking put Marty.
I know a guy with head coaching experience.
As surprised as I would be for them to fire Don Granato tonight, I'd be even more surprised if a corresponding move was Lindy Ruff.
I'm just saying, dude, if you want to get fucking fans fired.
If we wake up,
that's one way to do it.
You know what it would really do? If we wake up to that tomorrow and then Friday night, it's against the Devils too. Can you imagine? God. Can you imagine? And
my God.
They're in the thick of the playoff race. And if the team and the city, so that building would be full, number one. Number two, they're so fired up, they wear the goat heads or whatever. They got to wear the goat heads.
If
they're so fired up and the Sabres win and beat the Devils and knock them out of the playoffs, can you imagine the Devils fans?
Oh, my God.
That situation, it's not going to happen, but the possibility of that situation just made me so happy.
Could you imagine if, like, just, like, beating the shit out of them, like, fucking, like, 5-2 or something like tonight, beat the shit out of them.
Rough is over the boards yelling at Jack Hughes.
Instead of a fire Lindy chant, you get a thank you Lindy chant.
Thank you.
The Devils fan. Who's the guy? Who's that guy? What's his name from Barstool? The guy, Frank the Tank? Could you imagine Frank the Tank at home watching that game?
No.
Oh my God.
Right. It would be one of
the thing around his neck. That'd be great.
It would be one of the funniest instances in NHL history.
Oh my God. That would be like a nationally broadcasted game, right? Like we have to broadcast this on TNT or ESPN. Yeah. Have to be.
I do legitimately think if they did that, the building would be full.
Yeah. Piggybacking off this, besides Lindy, what other available coach out there would you even consider coming to Buffalo? We see a lot of Berube comments, Gallant,
Bruce Boudreau.
I need a coach, man, that's just going to hold players accountable.
Scotty Bowman.
I think, yeah. Scotty. Bring Scotty's Bowman. Like 90.
I know.
Bring him back.
Bring him back.
There's a couple. I just want accountability. Like, I don't need Tortorella, but Tortorella.
And you got none of it from the guy at the helm in his own press conference.
Literally, yeah.
So
a couple new listeners, Donald Paris. As much as I want Granato fires, the fans versus team drama is deeper than him. Are we sure a new coach is going to be able to fix it?
No, we're not sure, but you might as well fucking try.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, I don't know.
None of us are sure about anything. But if you have
it's
this,
it's literally like buying out Jost, man. It's literally like buying out Tyson Jost. Yeah.
This is the entire thing, and to the point from Kevin's tweet earlier. If you have the players who got to within a point of the playoffs last season, if you have the talent that you've built up with this prospect pool over the course of the past five seasons with four or five trades of your star players to different teams, and it's not working with a coach for 3.5 years, and when I say not working, they got pretty close, and then they signed him to an extension. If it's still not working, even with all of the expectations of this season, and as flat as they've played at home, as much as they've given up at the end of the games, why would you just not try? Why would you not bring in a coach with NHL experience, which Donnie didn't have before the Sabres job? Why would you not bring in a guy like Bruce Boudreau or Gar Gallant or any of these other guys to kick these guys into shape? Why not try? Because, maybe it might fail again? No. Well, keep trying. And they're not gonna do it because they're scared.
Yeah, because we're paying too many coaches to not coach for us. But the billionaire who's willing to drill another oil well if he ever wanted to make money is now, worried about paying head coaches. I don't fucking understand. If this was the Bills, he'd be treating it a lot different. That's for sure. From another new listener, the organization needs to clean house. This isn't working anymore. Adams and Don have to go. Shout out to you, James K. Thanks for tuning in. Your feeling about Adams?
I would say Granato way before Adams. I really do. I think this is, we can blame this season a lot on Adams for being as passive as he was this past summer, only signing Connor Clifton and Eric Johnson. We can blame him for sitting a little bit too tight on this prospect pipeline, probably not extending it as much as he's probably been able to. But at the same time, I do think he's built a roster that is good enough to make the playoffs. There's been a lack of execution this season, yes. Our star players have regressed mightily compared to last season. I think there has been a lack of depth, especially in the forward group, where they're forcing guys like Jordan Greenway up the lineup when they're not first-line players. even though he's been one of your better forwards all season, a guy that Kevin Adams traded for and effectively a steal. It was a second or a fifth round pick or a pick swap or something like that. I think he has made really good deals. He got a first rounder for Rasmus Ristolainen, who, as Dwayne tweeted earlier, is going to see the playoffs before the Sabres do, which should make us all pause and cry for a moment. I do think Kevin Adams, in a very tough situation over the past 3 to 4 years, has been above average. I really fully believe that in my heart. He could have done more this summer, and that is his biggest blemish right now. But for the product this team put on the ice with the roster that he gave him was not good enough, and they were not ready to play most nights. And it makes it even more frustrating because we've seen sparks where they have played really well, where they've started games in a desperate fashion, as we saw a couple weeks ago against the Islanders and the Red Wings. But for the most part, this team has either given up late in games, which speaks to the coach, or they haven't been ready to start games, as we saw tonight, which speaks even more to the coach. And the coach spoke for 3.5 minutes after today's game and blamed it completely on the players. So I think the coach has to go, and then you figure it out with Adams after that.
Yeah, going back to some of the, like, your points, like, he has made some good trades. Like, you know, you mentioned my tweet earlier about Ristolainen, and, like, yeah, that, like, that caught, like,
he got a fourth-round pick for Eric Johnson.
Yeah. Like, he's made some good deals. Like, am I ready to mail it in on Kevin Adams? No, not necessarily. Like, but I do think, and I know we talked about this yesterday on the podcast, on Two Goalies on Mike, I said, I think this is his biggest offseason of his career as GM. Like, it is. It has to be. The pressure has to be on for Kevin Adams this offseason. It has to be. And if Don Gradano is not fired tonight, you got 10 games to start the season to prove that you can be a coach in the NHL. Because if this team has the same start to the season next year as this year, he should be gone. Should be gone.
Yeah, I agree. I really don't know what else to say other than that. And I think we can get even more upset tomorrow morning as we do not get the notification that Don Granato's fired. If I'm wrong, I'd love to be wrong. And if I'm wrong to the point that Lindy Ruff is the corresponding move, I'm going to be so excited.
Oh, dude, that'd be the next best thing to them signing Pat Kane, right? Right?
Oh, my God. Like, oh my God. If
you're off, honestly, that'd be great.
Specifically because it's before the Devils game. Oh, like that would be the biggest heel move they could possibly pull. And honestly,
that's like prime attitude era Triple H.
And honestly, like I'm not a wrestling fan, but like that would be one of the best things they could do to endear this fan base.
Oh yeah. 100%.
But they're not going to. I'm just in our fantasy brain.
Was willing to come back, would you hire him in the offseason?
He's an assistant coach with the Rangers now.
Yeah, and they say a lot of good things about him.
I mean, yeah, of course, but at the same time, that's another guy with no NHL head coaching experience.
Agreed. He's not going to come back here to be an assistant, that's for sure. He'll just stay with the Rangers.
So if our biggest thing with basically Ralph Krueger, not much NHL head coaching experience before Buffalo. Phil Housley, not much. I don't think he had any, correct? As a head coach.
He was an assistant with Nashville during their cup run.
So, not a head coach. A former player, a very good player. Probably a handshake deal as well there. Dan Bylsma was a head coach. He was a cup winner. But that clearly didn't work out. I think you need to give it another shot with a guy who's had experience coaching NHL teams. And Bruce Boudreau specifically has been known to.
He got a raw deal in Vancouver.
He did. And he's been known to turn the attitude of teams around. He's a no nonsense guy, and he has a system, and he plays to it, and guys stick to it. And I think that is the type of structure this team needs right now. I think Don Granato is an unbelievable developmental coach. I think the work he did with the U.S. National Development Program and the work he did with guys like Tage Thompson and even J.J. Paterka and Casey Mittelstadt and even Rasmus Dahlin and all the guys who have blossomed in the past 2 or 3 years, I think we can put a lot of that on his shoulders and kindly thank him as he walks out the door.
Adams takeover?
He did that once, remember?
Yeah. When Donnie was out with, what was it, COVID, or he was sick or something?
No, that was after Kruger, wasn't it?
No, there was a game that, I mean, yeah, for sure, probably then. But I'm pretty sure weren't there a couple games where the coach was sick or something like that?
Adams was on the bench. I know that. So he might. No, I don't think he'd do that.
Here's an idea. I would bring in Lindy tomorrow and then put him upstairs after the season.
If you bring in Lindy tomorrow and he's not on that bench against the Devils, you did something wrong.
Well, no, what I'm saying is you bring in Lindy tomorrow and have him be above, like management next season.
No, I mean,
like, yeah, you let him finish the year as head coach.
I agree. But if you bring him into
that's actually not a bad idea.
If you bring him into the organization tomorrow and he's some not involved in that game on Friday in some capacity, you're doing something wrong.
Well, yeah. So I think that's what he's insinuating. He would be the head coach for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And then next year you put him in a management role.
Yeah. I mean,
that's actually not a bad idea.
I'm not sure he would agree to that.
Announcement is going to come April 16th. No point in firing him with less than 10 meaningless games left. Spend the summer finding a coach and bringing in real free agents.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's more likely than tomorrow morning. I do.
Yeah.
If they didn't fire him after the 9-4 Columbus game, I don't think they're going to fire him after tonight. I think absolutely not on Jay Woodcroft. After what happened.
Fire Jay McKee. McKee's got also a lot of experience at the junior level.
I think there's going to be a lot of sentiment for retreads, right? Like former Sabres players. Even Lindy Ruff, another guy with no NHL head coaching experience. So
it's true.
I think I need it.
Simple fact, Pegula has to be losing more money with attendance than he would be buying out. Pegula has to be losing more money with attendance than he would buying out Granato.
Someone made a great point earlier. How are they going to sell season tickets for next season?
I think it's hilariously insulting that they advertise renewing. Make sure you renew your season tickets by this date in April to ensure that you can secure your seats. Yo, dude, I don't think anyone has to worry about securing seats for next year.
It might be the lowest number of season tickets ever. It honestly might be.
I was so close to getting season tickets before this year.
I mean, I flew home for the home opener. Like I think this season's numbers were probably pretty good. And it's bad.
The red rocket, red berry, and I'm flush red with disappointment, sadness, negativity, and misery.
Me too, Mauricio. Me too.
I think you two need to meet and have a beer.
I like the Red Rocket. It's a good nickname. I've got no optimism left. Tonight was the final straw. It really was.
Yeah. LaFontaine. I don't think LaFontaine is ever going to do anything with the Sabres organization ever again.
Nope. Absolutely not.
No chance.
I don't even know what he does now.
Yeah. I know he does a lot with his Companions and Courage Foundation. I know they do, like, he's very involved with charity work and stuff still. One of the all-time greatest human beings in Buffalo history, athlete-wise.
Sell the team. This is what reminds me of it. Knicks fans yelled at James Dolan all the time. Well, the Knicks are pretty good this year. Are we getting into, like, James Dolan territory with Terry Pegula?
Like, yell, sell the team? I'm surprised you're not there already.
With how fans feel about this ownership, because for a while before, you don't hear it much this season, obviously, because Jalen Brunson has gone nuclear and they've made really good trades and the team is really good. You're not hearing much of sell the team about the Knicks anymore. But before this year, you heard it every single game and fans would be kicked out of the game for saying sell the team. So I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but gosh, I mean, we're up there with the Jets now. Obviously, for franchises that
have missed the playoffs for 13 straight seasons. And if they
max effort for 15, 20 minutes a night, three or four times a week is all we ask.
Need more than 15, 20 minutes a night.
Maximum effort.
You need more than 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, you need more than that. Bag skate tomorrow. Do you think this Don Granato has ever bag skate this team?
I haven't seen it. And there's a lot of,
I'm sure that's something that will be reported.
There's a lot of reporters at these practices.
With as much as
we are following like Sabres Twitter sources and reporters and whatnot, I've never seen it. And I saw it a few weeks ago from Patrick Waugh for the Islanders. But I don't think he's ever done that.
Yeah, I agree. Another new listener, shout out to Eric Moreno. The GM doesn't have it either. This past offseason was the time to make an impact move for the top two lines, and you did nothing. He's a yes man and way too patient. I'll agree on the yes man part for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason and he was hired. Exactly.
That's why he was hired. I remember when the fans did – I may have brought this up before – when the fans did that protest in the plaza. And I remember it was right after, like, Adams was hired in some type of management position. Before he was made GM, he was brought, like, some business management position. And I remember, like, my dad showed up at it because my dad just was all into the whole WGR thing and everything. My dad, I wasn't there. I was working. I couldn't go. My dad went. And somehow my dad got Kevin Adams on the phone with me. This is a true story. My dad was standing there with Kevin Adams because Kevin Adams came out when like the news crew left and offered to have everybody come in because it was cold out. It was middle of winter. And it was like, you want to come in and have some coffee and hot cocoa and stuff like that. Tried to like reach out to the fans and some of them, you know, obliged. And my dad called me and he just stuck the phone and Kevin Adams' face said, "My son wants to talk to you." And I wasn't expecting it at all. Mind you, this is like a week after that whole thing with GR and all that stuff. And I had no idea. And the guy was super nice. He was very nice. He was very well spoken. He was genuine with everything he said. And he had me believing in him. And again, this is before he was made GM. But when he was made GM is like, to your point, like, it's like, yeah, he's a yes man. He is a yes man. Like it's hard to not like Kevin Adams because he's from the area. It's like, not to the same extent, but like really hating any former athlete from Buffalo. Like how, if you're going to find a guy that's going to handle the negativity of this fan base and hopefully not get ran out of town with pitchforks, you know, make it a guy that you have familiarity with and a guy from the area. And again, I like Kevin Adams. I hope that he does turn it around this offseason. I would love to be wrong about him when they first hired him, but he, outside of, again, the few trades that you mentioned, he has really fallen short for me. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think you give him another offseason and see what happens. I really
do. I agree.
It's his only offseason. If he does nothing, or if he's unable to do anything, and they have a similar type of season to next year, maybe with the same coach, maybe with no coach, then he's done. I'm dead. Me too.
I agree.
I'm dead too.
It's
not normal. And I think as a city, as a collective fan base of both the Sabres and the Bills, we all deserve better. I think we are a product of being a small market. I think it's tougher for free agents to be convinced to come here than other places. Sometimes we're at the mercy of overpaying to convince guys to come here rather than say a Florida or an LA or one of the popular Canadian markets. And I do think that, shout out Zach Hyman, we're at a disadvantage because we're not.
Can we talk about that one for a second?
Because we're not. We're not as rich. We're not as rich, and we don't have as many privileges as some of the other big markets.
Believe it or not,
that was the dumbest take in sports history.
Fun fact: he has been a guest on the show of Two Goalies, One Mic, Andrew Berkshire.
So I'll say this: he got way too much flack for that. He got way too much flack for that because I do think the underlying basis of his point was really good, but the example that he chose to use was really bad.
I don't think you really needed to single out any single player to make that
point. No. That's what I'm saying. So if people are unfamiliar, he said that Zach Hyman, he scored 51 goals this season. And it's at least partially because he comes from a very wealthy family and his parents bought junior teams growing up and put him in a position to succeed so that he eventually would become this unbelievable NHL player. Cut to the fact that Zach Hyman's 31 and this is the first time he scored 51 goals in his career. Fifth round pick out of Michigan. Worked his way up a variety of different places, kind of grinded his ass off on multiple different teams. And now he's playing on the same power play as probably the greatest player in NHL history. Yep. That's probably the reason he scored 51 goals, not because his parents were wealthy when he was 14, 15, 16 years old playing juniors. Mm-hmm. I do think there is a discussion to be had about hockey not being accessible to different kids and levels of income. I think Hashik Heroes exists and is as good of an organization as it is because hockey is a hard sport for, let's just say it, non-rich white kids to play. So there's a point to be made about that. Like in his junior career, he had more opportunities than most people because his family was rich. That is absolutely true. And that is a problem that hockey needs to address. And organizations like Hashik's Heroes are working to address that. But the point about him scoring 51 goals is absolutely unrelated to him being 14, 15, 16 years old and having rich parents. So
that's your point. You could literally dump every player's name into a bowl in the National Hockey League, reach your hand and pick them out and be like, yeah, he's rich white kid.
You could dump 75% of right wingers in the National Hockey League and throw them on the same line as Connor McDavid and put them on power play one and stick them in front of the net, and they'll probably have 40 goals.
Put me on Connor McDavid's wing, I'll score 10.
I've never played forward
in my life.
Yeah, you might get 10. That's the thing. Yeah. Though. It was a really, really bad point. And no matter what politically correct side of the aisle you're on, I this is what I'm saying. I don't think he should be crucified because I think he had a point. He just just like the Sabres tonight, he executed incorrectly.
Yeah. I have plenty more thoughts on that, but I'm kind of toasted for the night. I just want to say a shout out to everybody that did, all the new listeners and viewers here. We gave you a shout out earlier, but thanks for always tuning in. Hope to see you again. Appreciate the support. Any final thoughts, Earls?
I hope, if they haven't already, that Kevin Adams has a phone conversation with Terry Pegula tonight, and they agree that
if Terry answers his phone,
if he answers, it's his birthday, so he might be out celebrating.
That
after a start like that and a must-win game in front of your home crowd. 5-0 in the first period. They got mercied, an old NHL term. They got mercied in the first period by a very bad organization. Hopefully, that was enough of an embarrassment to be like, hey, this isn't working out. Donnie, we love you. We appreciate all you've done for the organization. We got to try something new. And then they turn on some type of heavy metal music. They press speed dial on number 7. Hopefully, that's Lindy Ruff's number. They call him up. They bring him in. He's in Clarence. He lives in Clarence. He drives to the arena tomorrow morning, walks into the locker room, says, boys, we're playing the Devils tomorrow night, and you better be fucking ready to play. and he's on that bench against the New Jersey Devils, the team that fired him a month ago, and a fan base that crucified him when it wasn't his fault. If they do that, yep. I am fully back for this organization. I'm not a wrestling fan, but that would be the greatest heel move in the history of the NHL.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, what, I, like, when you're introducing Lindy Ruff as the coach to that team, if you could put, like, an entrance, a wrestler's entrance, the music, are you doing the Undertaker gong? Is the whole locker room going dark and you hear the gong? Is it the glass shattering, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin? Like, who is it? Like, who, like, you know, is it John Cena?
I'm not sure why you're asking me.
Well, even like a mediocre to, you know, very casual, non-casual wrestling fan knows.
No,
like
I really, right? I really don't know music. I don't know.
You heard the glass shatters.
Nope.
What?
I don't know. I really don't
Stone
know.
Don't Steve Austin.
Nothing.
Jesus Christ, man.
I know him. He's the beer guy. He's the beer guy, but I don't know anything else.
Yeah. But I don't know who it would be.
To my point, that would be the greatest thing they could possibly do for this franchise right now. And unfortunately, they don't want to have fun and they're not going to do it.
Another new listener on the old X Twitter app, Connor Hurley. Hell yes. Pearson W. McDonald.
Shout out Pearson, man. We all want it. We're going to clip this off tomorrow. We're going to pose that exact scenario. And I'm sure people are going to love it. And it's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to actually – I can press a key here and we'll mark it. And that'll be your job tomorrow. I want you to post that clip.
Yeah, no, when we originally talked about it, I think around the 38 or 30-minute mark, I think we'll be good. Because I think the idea of that, especially with the hatred for the Devils and everything else, is something – in a time of great sadness, it is a funny – image that I think all of Sabres Twitter and all Sabres fans could latch onto.
It's Pat Kane on a 1-year deal. Thoughts? Is it possible to get him?
This summer, probably not possible to get him anywhere.
You'd have to overpay him by a lot, I think.
You're probably if it's a 1-year deal, you probably have to pay him 6.5.
like literally, and I said this too. I was so close to pressing post yesterday, you know, after he scored that goal. I guess for the Wings, and I was gonna, and I pulled up his stat line. And he's literally a point per game player now. Still maintained it for the most part ever since like he got into his season. He's maintained that point per game plus like pace. I thought about posting that video so bad, just to fucking troll the fans and just like, you know, like he was washed up, whatever, and. I know like 50% of them be like, get over it, man. Get over it. I was going to say, you guys should have, they should have offered him because they had the money to spend. Because I know he was only making like 2.5 for once for playing Detroit. They should have offered him 5, 5.5 for one season. They should have just did it. You should have just did it because you want to know what? If you did do it, this team would be in the playoffs right now. I'll hang up and listen. Just saying.
They would be. I don't necessarily agree that he would have been the only, like the final piece, because I think they're a little bit more far off than that, but they'd be way closer than they are now.
I would say I think he, in terms of adding wins to their current record, he probably would have given you 3 or 4 additional wins to their current record, personally. And I mean, how much more of help would have 5 more goals on the power play even just help this team? I think he would have gotten you at least to that second wild card spot and going into the end of this season, holding that second wild card spot. And instead of battling to get into it, battling to keep it. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. Of course, given the way he's played and who knows whose line mates would have been and how much the power play would have been better. I think, yeah, I mean, to Pearson, if you want to fill the building on Friday night, there's only one thing you can do.
Yep. You're 100% right. Remember, everybody, this is brought to you by Fatty Beer Company, Western New York's premier market and tap room with 8 different Western New York locations and over 300 beers to choose from. You can find them at Fatty Beer on Instagram and Twitter, at Fatty Beer Co. on Facebook. A lot of great vibes there. They're open 7 days a week, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. and later, both kid and dog friendly. And as always, Buffalo Logo Apparel, the best spot to get all of your Buffalo sports apparel needs. Have a lot of merch for the upcoming Eclipse here in Buffalo, April 8th. Go check it out. They have some pretty cool stuff there. And most famously known for all their Bills gear, but they have some Sabre stuff now, courtesy of your boys here at Two Goalies, One Mike. Go check it out at Buffalo Logo Co. on Instagram and Twitter, buffalogo.com. Hurls, see you. When will we see you next?
I might be out for Friday. I have a tea time after work. But if Lindy Ruff is hired as the Sabres head coach, I will absolutely be in for Friday. Yeah. So Friday is the next
guy. Do you know Pearson?
I don't know.
Clown bus. Lindy wouldn't let us lose to Clown Bus 9-4 or the Sens tonight, or swept by the Ducks.
I agree. So I agree. I'll tentatively say I'll be out for Friday, but if we wake up tomorrow that Lindy Ruff is hired as the Sabres head coach, I will be in. So
I agree. So
we'll see what happens.
If Lindy Ruff is hired tonight as head coach, I'm calling into work tomorrow. We're doing like a 3-hour stream to talk about Lindy Ruff. You're waking up at like 5 a.m.
Unfortunately, I can't call into work, and I've got to wake up at 5 a.m. West Coast time. So yeah, you might be alone for that one.
All right, guys. As always, go Sabres. We'll talk to you this weekend. Bring Lindy home, and I'll hang up and listen. We will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.